This is Jeffrey Tucker with Sacred Music Magazine and the Church Music Association of America, and I'm interviewing Paul Schnatzko from Magnificat. He's the communications director with the publication, and he's graciously agreed to let me interview him today.
Hi, this is Paul.
Hi, Paul. This is Jeffrey Tucker.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, good. So you're willing to answer some questions about Magnificat?
Sure.
That's great. Well, so the reason I got interested in it is, number one, it's very, very beautiful, and that really very, very much draws your attention. Is that something that is a focus of the publication?
Certainly. We certainly aspire to have the highest production qualities, and we certainly aspire to have covers that invoke a message of the month or a theme of the month liturgically, and we are very proud that so many people have found our covers and our production to be a positive aspect of the book.
In fact, at the back of the book, which comes out monthly, you have a painting that you examine and explain. What is the thinking there?
We do. Each month we have an art commentary on sacred art.
And in addition to that, you have reflections by saints. Who according to the liturgical day, is it every day that you have a reflection by a spiritual writer or a saint? Is it every day in the publication, or is it just periodically?
The meditation of the day for St. Francis Cabrini is one of her own writings.
You know, isn't that so great? And that's today, isn't it, St. Francis Cabrini? Am I right that it's today?
But today? Today, November 12th, is St. Josephat.
Oh, thank you.
But Francis Cabrini is certainly coming up here in November.
Okay. Well,
tomorrow, November 13th.
Okay. Yeah. So, and they're not long writings, so they just take a few minutes to read, and so you can familiarize yourself with some of these great words and great thoughts some of the best intellectuals and spiritual writers the Catholic tradition has to offer in just one page.
Yes, everything in Magnificat is designed so it is maybe used by a lay person in the course of their daily life. And so the prayers for the morning, the prayers for the evening, the daily meditation, the essay on the life of the saint is all designed so that it is digestible for a lay person as their day is progressing.
And you take it to Mass with you so that the readings for the daily Mass are in there as well?
Many people do that, yes.
Before we get to music, let's talk about the morning prayer and evening prayer that you have in there. So there's a lot of scholarship going on these days that's demonstrating that the Liturgy of the Hours has played a much larger role in our Catholic history in the past than it does today, and many people regret this and would like to see some way to reintroduce the Liturgy of the Hours into the mainstream of Catholic life. And it struck me that your publication is, maybe there are others, but it's the only one I've seen that really makes this mode of prayer accessible to people in their private lives.
Certainly. Of course, this was a call of Pope John Paul II for more and more lay people to be able to pray during their day and to pray not maybe the official Liturgy of the Hours, if they could, that certainly would be good, but to at least begin praying as a part of their day. And it was one of the things that inspired our publisher. His name is Pierre-Marie Dumont. And that call was one of the things that inspired our publisher to begin Magnificat, and is one of the things that inspired him to go ahead and begin producing the publication.
It's tremendously exciting for that reason. I suppose, like a lot of Catholics, you know, I'm one of those that have long felt that I needed to be doing this and never quite got around to it because it's kind of complicated. You have to get the books. But you've really, now it's a kind of a reduced form of Liturgy of the Hours. Nonetheless, you get in the, it's got the feel and the structure that's part of the whole of
it does. Tradition. And for instance, in Advent, people will see this coming up this Advent. The O antiphons are a common part of the evening prayer in the waning days of Advent. And those are certainly something that are included in Magnificat, in the prayers for the evening of Magnificat.
Yeah. And those really don't have so much of a place at Mass. I mean, I'm the director of a choir. We try to sing at Mass, and yet we are aware that not really part of the structure of the Mass. And yet, there's so much embedded as part of a history. There needs to be a way for us to familiarize ourselves with them.
And I certainly hope we're helping to fill that need.
No question. Now let's just move on to the music. One of the things as a musician, as a Catholic musician, I that excites me so much is that you provide these Marian antiphons and other antiphons of the church, one or two or more per issue, and you use neumes from the books of liturgical books of the church to display them, not modern notation. And you're bringing back these great antiphons, some of which I haven't been familiar with, so it's been very exciting for me. Who chooses those, and what's the rationale behind the notation?
Well, our entire publication is edited by Father Peter John Cameron. He is a Dominican father of the province of St. Joseph on the East Coast. And so he, of course, is overseeing our entire publication each month, and he's the founding editor and our only editor in our 10-year history of our English edition in the United States. And then the Marian antiphon is sort of put together by a man named James Monty, who is also our editor for the Saints.
And he pulls those from what, any resources from the church's liturgical books? And do you retypeset them?
I have to apologize. On that one, I am not an expert.
But they're very beautiful to look at. One of the things that's beautiful about the notation is it reminds you that this isn't just regular old everyday music, but it's this liturgical music. This is music that
certainly
is to prayer. And so it's a great help, actually, for scholars out there, that when lay people can pick up this wonderful resource, they can see that the music is the same in there as what they're singing.
And really getting a feel of some of that history of the church.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And what about the two-color format? That somehow visually reminds us of something, you know, that's ancient, that's embedded in our church history. You chose
the two colors are wonderful, and also on the Bible paper, on that type of paper as well. It's really a very old form of publishing and of Catholic printing, and we're very happy to be able to do that style.
And it's perfectly bound to probably people don't throw them away.
Well, we certainly, if they don't, that'd be a wonderful thing.
It seems like something you just want to kind of keep around.
Now, a lot of people do keep them for reference. Many people simply pass it along at the end of the month. They give it to someone else in their life, and they encourage them to check it out. Some people donate their copies to prison ministries. Some people donate them to adoration chapels. So there's lots of other second, you know, uses after that month is over.
When did the publication start?
Magnificat began in 1992 with our French edition, and it then went on to, there is an edition in Germany, and then the U.S. edition, the first copy was December of 1998. And so we're now right at our 10th anniversary with this next month's publication in the United States. And I should mention as well, there's also a Spanish language edition now as well. So we're now in four languages. French, English, Spanish, German.
Was it a new company when it started publication?
Magnificat is published. The name of our company is Magnificat, and we are the daughter company of a Catholic publishing firm in France.
I see. Okay, but it's really been a success, has it?
We are very blessed, and certainly the Holy Spirit has been a big part of what we've been doing. We are now at more than 200,000 subscribers a month, and then we have several thousand more each month that are bought in the Catholic bookstores. So that's our English language edition. And then we have a Spanish language edition, which is read by thousands each month. And we also have a children's edition called Magnificat.
Right. I haven't seen it.
Magnificat is read by more than 30,000 each month. So when you bring everything together, we're very, very blessed to have more than several hundred thousand people every month reading our title.
I had no idea. It's really having a big impact. I mean, with that level of circulation, And you know, what's nice about it too is there's no commercial promotions on the publication at all. It's not littered with ads.
No, the only advertising would be of our own. We have a couple books that we published, and so those would be mentioned in the back. But other than that, that would be it.
It's just pure prayer from the first page to the last, and even the tedious stuff about, you know, copyright notifications and all that kind of stuff. It's buried in the back, very small. You know, I appreciate that because to tell you the truth, Catholics are just inundated with all this other kind of things, you know, and it's nice to have a publication that it's a pure assistance to prayer. It puts you in that calm sense of things, you know, educates you about the saints, tells you about art, teaches you about music, introduces you to the liturgy of the hours, helps you say the mass. I mean, you know, this is what a wonderful package. I can see why it's a success.
We sort of like to think of it as we're helping to convey the best of the Catholic tradition.
That's what it's like, right. And it's just, I don't know how else to put it, but it's so refreshing. To pick up, it puts you in a contemplative mind.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. I'm so grateful to you. Actually, why don't you tell our listeners how to subscribe, where to go?
Well, the best way to subscribe is to call 866-273-5215. That's our customer service center, and anyone there can help you. Again, that number is 866-273-5215. Or you can always visit our website at magnificat.com.
Right, and you go there, and with just a couple of clicks, you can get all the subscriptions you want. I was just there a couple of days ago and bought a bunch of them. So
well, thank you.
That's a very easy way.
It is a very good gift. Yeah. Giving a subscription is something lots of people do for their family members.
Precisely, because it's really something that you can be really – you know that they'll be happy about, and they'll come to Treasury, it'll come the first month, and they'll think, wow, this is really very beautiful. Maybe they won't start using it until the next month, but, you know, anybody who's got that come into their home, it's going to deepen their faith. It seems like it's just perfectly designed to do that. So I'm grateful to you. I know I had no idea your subscription base is so large. So now we know that there's something like 250,000 people out there who are grateful to all the work that you're doing also. I'm thankful.
Well, like
you.
I said, you know, we're very, you know, it's the Holy Spirit is really, it's really what's propelling this. So
that's magnificent. And thank you so much for taking your time out to talk to me today, Paul.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.